See, I sit on the front up here, and I can feel it, but I can't see it. I can feel the Spirit of God move past, and I'm sitting there always wanting to turn around and say, man, what's going on back here? And I was sitting there, at one point in that song, I thought, man, they're all going to run past me here in a minute. They got to. But y'all held it together, so we're preaching now, right? So you take your Bibles, go to Mark 8:22. The theme of both services this morning and tonight will be, touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. So tonight you'll be touch them, Lord, one, touch them, Lord, two. I should preach both messages this morning because some of y'all won't come back. Every preacher has to do that. You got to throw that barb in there about people not coming back to Sunday night service. It's part of it. It's a disclaimer. It comes with every preacher's manual, and you get that when you become a preacher. They give you a, no, they don't. Have I gave y'all enough time to find Mark chapter 8, verse 22? Do y'all have a heart and a mind to learn? A heart and a mind to change? That's what, if you come to the house of God and you always already know it all, already seen it all, already done it all, then you're going to get much out of church. I'm still one of them people who says, man, God, show me more. Show me more. Show me where I can be better. Show me where I can get more out of you. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, and they cometh to Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a bad place for Jesus. He said, you know what? One day Sodom and Gomorrah will look at you and blush. He said, if the miracles that had been done in you would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. Bethsaida wasn't a real cool place. And when I read about Bethsaida, I go, ha. But then I think, wait a minute, I live in America. Sodom and Gomorrah will blush at us too. They'll blush at us and say, we didn't get away with half of what you got away with. But that's the way it goes. Jesus will still work in imperfect places. Thank God. Because I hate to tell you this morning, you're sitting in an imperfect place. Church is an imperfect place. But guess what? God is a perfect God. If you bring an imperfect situation to a perfect God, He can still work despite your location. Thank God. Because sometimes when I come, I know it's not a perfect place and I'm not a perfect person. I need a perfect God to get involved. I love that. So He came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him and besought Him to touch him. They brought a blind man. Everywhere in the Bible, they always describe a blind man. It's a spiritual blindness, okay? Jesus sometimes does a physical healing to bring forth a spiritual principle, amen? So there's all these healings in the New Testament that Jesus did, but this is the first time that Jesus ever healed a blind man. Matter of fact, nobody else in the whole Bible, the Old Testament, healed a blind man. The only person to heal blind people was Jesus. It was a messianic healing. And Jesus was always showing by healing that there's a physical principle to this spiritual thing. And He said, there was somebody who was brought that was blind. Whew. Bring some people to church that are spiritually blind and say, how do you do that, preacher? How do you get somebody to come to Christ when they're blind spiritually? You make them so hungry and so thirsty and so desiring of what you got, they want to come. They see the joy in you and it just splashes on them. Does your joy ever splash on people? I'm just talking about it just splashes on them. Like, man, you got the same tax deal that I got. I know, but God's good. Man, you got a pay cut just like I did. Yeah, God's good. You got the same stinky boss I got. Yeah, praise God. Well, it's giving us an opportunity to witness to Him. It'll give us an opportunity. Maybe we're the only Bible He's going to read. Maybe He's the only sermon He's going to hear. Maybe it's the only place that He's going to see a Christian. And guess what? God put us in here because He thinks a lot about us, that we're willing to minister this guy who is terrible, or this girl who is terrible. Woo! Does your joy ever splash out on people? Does everybody say, man, you know what? I can't stand her. but she's real. I can't stand him, but he loves Jesus. I can't stand him, but if I needed somebody to pray for me, I can't stand him, but if I really needed some advice that was going to be on solid ground, I'd probably sneak around and find him and talk to him. Hey, guess what? How do you bring? Somebody had confidence. Somebody had confidence that, hey, we're going to lead you to Jesus. A blind man. I started thinking about how I was before I got saved. We want to take you to Jesus. What kind of church is it? Some of y'all are sitting here this morning. What kind of church is this? Amen. See, blind people can't see Jesus. I couldn't see him either for a long time. What's the big deal? All your music's about him. All your messengers are about him. All the stuff you do is about him. And you never shut up about this Jesus guy. I can't see that. I can't see it. What's the big deal? Well, once you see him, then you see him. Bring him anyway. Can y'all see him? Bringing him in Bethsaida, can you see him? Hey, they're just leading him. Where are we going again, man? Because as a blind person, you don't like the uncomfortable situation. You want to be in a place where you know stuff. Hey, okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever got up at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and have to go through your house and you don't want to turn the lights on to wake nobody up? You've lived there so long, you can expect where things are. Huh? Okay, oh, there's a corner of the bed. Oh, okay, there's a little table right there I don't want to crack my shin on right over there, right? And there's that door right there. There, you try to find it, not, right? You go through everything too, because you feel comfortable in that house. See, as a blind person, spiritually blind or physically blind, you like to stay in places that you feel comfortable in, that you know where. It might not be the greatest place to be, but at least you know where everything's at. Some of y'all are spiritually blind. You have more identity at the bar or the club or in sin than you do in righteousness. So it's not a great place to be. It's real dark and it's real closed off. But praise God, you know how to feel. Hey, man, you know how to feel your way through it. Now, I'm going to preach harder than y'all want to receive it, you can just get over it today. Listen, hey, they go in. I feel comfortable. But guess what? When you take somebody who's blind into a place they're not comfortable, they don't know the surrounding. They don't know the area. Some of y'all got that look on your face this morning. What did I get myself into? Why did I pull in there? What got me here? I believe somebody's trying to get you in front of Jesus. I believe there's some people trying to get you in front of Jesus, and I think God's trying to get you. And he works that way. He works by way of the Holy Spirit, and he works that way by his people. Amen? I love this story right here. I love when people, they can't help themselves. Have you ever had a can't help it's driving? I turned in here, and I turned in here, and I turned in here. And how in the world did I end up at Flat Top Mountain on the middle of a church? I just kept turning. I just felt like I had to be there. And guess what? I went in there, and I found somebody. They led this man to Jesus, even in Bethsaida. Man, could you hear him? See, when you're blind, some of your other senses take over. You can hear better and smell better. Amen? So somebody that brought him was saying stuff like this. I don't know why, but I believe if we get you to Jesus, he can do something about your sight. No. We know if we get you up there, I miss that, don't you? No, listen, I miss having blind faith. I miss just having God can do it faith. I have a problem now. Sometimes I try to reason. I've been around church too long. I spend most of my time at church and around church, and we try everything except go to God. Maybe we can fix it. Maybe we can talk to it. Maybe we can strategize. Maybe we can come up with a plan. But yet then we ultimately always end up, man, we can't do any of this. Maybe we should fall on our face and get before God. Right? Somebody was leading this man, and you could hear his reservation in his voice. I don't feel comfortable going up there. I don't know anybody. You don't have to know anybody. You just have to know Jesus. You don't have to know anybody at Flat Top Church. You just have to meet this guy named Jesus. I don't feel comfortable around big crowds because I can't see, and I just don't know if this is going to be a play. Man, if you get up there, God might just, you know, do something amazing, and you won't have to worry about not being able to see anymore. Wouldn't that be awesome? You can think about all the reservations and all the things. If some of y'all come here this morning, and you got big problems and big issues in your life, and praise God, you're telling God all these things, but in the very bottom of the reservation, oh God. Y'all help me. At the very, very bottom of all that list of why God wouldn't or why God can or why God shouldn't, can I preach on that just for a minute? Because some of y'all come here every Sunday and you got that one big thing is why God shouldn't. Let me tell you this, everybody in here, God shouldn't mess with none of us. Just erase that and say, I know he shouldn't, but he will. I know he shouldn't, but he can. But down at the very bottom of all of that, out of all of your reasons and all of why God shouldn't and can't and all that, and all those doubts and all those fears and all that anxiety and all that depression and all that stuff, down at the very bottom, he's got his hand out and somebody's pulling him along. So I would like to see, I would like for God to work in my life, in this area. I don't know what your area is, but you know. If I gave you a piece of paper right now and said, this is my main issue, blank, right in the blank, and then you put that, you would like to say, man, God, I'd like to see that gone. Huh? I would like to see you work on that right there. So at the bottom of all your reasons why God won't or can't or shouldn't, I would like to see it happen, though. I like to ask people that. What would you want God to do if you just thought and believed and if he just done it? You know what? That should be your prayer. There's your prayer. Yeah, there's your prayer right there. God, I know. Never mind. I feel like y'all are quiet on purpose. God, I can give you all the. But can I come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need and just ask for what I want? That's what I love about kids. That's what I love about kids, because adults hee-haw around and won't ever say it until you kick the tires a couple times and go around and around and around with them, and finally they say what they mean. Kids will come in and say, hey, can I have $5? Because I really want it. They don't care if you got it or not. They just want it. Right? This is what we want. Can I have it? It's either yes or no. That's what God wants. Listen, I come to crawl up in the lap of God and say, hey, God, this is what I want. It's up to him what he's going to do or not. But I still like to have a little faith in God that he can do it all. And listen to that last part. And what they do, they begged. No, in the King James, it's a little different. And they besought him to touch him. Listen, I hate to tell you this. A good word for besought is begging. Amen? I wish some of them words were just a little bit different. I'm just going to be honest with you. Well, if I said I besought them, you'd say, well, he went over and asked. I like begged a whole lot better. You know why? Because the church stopped begging a long time ago, and that's been our downfall. I think he said it when he was up here. That's what you get when you get a praying wife. We used to have praying wives, praying mothers, praying grandmothers. Amen? That worst thing you could ever tell a man who was in prison on drugs or mentally unstable or anything else, that your grandmama is praying for you. Well, I might as well go ahead and give up now. Because I don't care if you're way out there or on the side of the road or in the penitentiary or about to walk death row. Guess what? God will be right there because he'll honor somebody's prayers because somebody begged. Some of y'all are besaulting. Some of y'all are asking. Some of y'all are talking about. But nobody's begging anymore. Nobody's getting serious. We want instant. We are living in an instant world. We want to order it at this microphone and pick it up at this window. And matter of fact, I'll just go weird on it. We don't even want the second window anymore. Amen? Have you ever noticed they ain't even got the first window open? You just go on down to the set. Why? Because we don't want nobody even in the middle. We want to get it. Hey, and then we get down there, and it's like, I mean, I've been here 30 seconds now. And I mean, like, I ordered number 6 and number 8 and number 10 and number 12 and a little extra side sauce and some drinks. And my goodness, what is the incompetency level of this place that they don't have it ready? When they opened the door, you were looking for a fast food restaurant. What's this place? And you're laughing, and I'm laughing too, but let me be honest with you. That's how we treat God. Have you prayed about it? Yes, yesterday. I took a glancing blow at it. I mean, right when I was eating my meal, I said, God bless the hamburger. Then I told him, you know, I got that deal going on with my boy. Hey, God, thank you for blessing my food, and could you get my daughter? Yeah, it's crack cocaine, it's heroin, it's meth, it's alcohol, it's abortion, it's sex, it's drugs, it's lying. But God, could you, hey, like salt, could you just add it to the prayer package? And I'll be expecting an answer by noon. I'll be expecting an answer by noon. Aren't you glad nobody prayed for you like that? Aren't you glad that nobody else took the Lord on your behalf like that? God, I don't care. This is what it looks like. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what you have to do. And listen, nobody prays like this anymore. God, whatever it takes. Yeah, you know when you write your name on that check, you know what that means? God, if you have to use me, if you have to destroy me, if you have to break me completely down, I got a friend of mine named Keith Page. He got saved because his mama died. That's his testimony. They went to church on a Wednesday night. He got high. He got high. And he was sitting in his house on a Wednesday night, and he was like, I'm so glad my parents are down there at the church where I can get high. His mom went to church that night, and guess what? On the altar, she stayed for the whole service. The whole service. Her father, when they were pulling out of the parking lot, said, sis, what are you praying about? She said, I want Keith to get saved no matter what. And she was hit in her side of the car by an oncoming vehicle. Shortly after that, I mean, just a few seconds. And Keith Page was standing in the hospital watching his mom pass away. Then they had the funeral, and he was standing in the church, the same altar at the same place where he prayed, or where she prayed. He said, may I go into the sanctuary before the funeral? And he walked to the same place on the same altar and gave his life to Christ because a mama said, whatever it will take, and she meant it. You say, was it worth it? Yeah, because a mama will be waiting on the gate for a son who's going to enter in. You say, well, God's going to kill me if I pray? I don't know if He will or not. But how serious are we about souls anymore? How serious are we worrying about God moving anymore? Well, a lot of times we're talking about it, but we're not doing it. God, they said, they begged Him. They showed up and they said, look, Jesus, we're putting it on you. There's the blind man. Here we are. Get him. And we ain't going to do nothing else until you do. That's one verse. That's it, right? Verse 23, y'all ready? And he took him. And he took the blind man. And he took the blind man. Can I hold your hand? Come with me. And he took. Never been led by Jesus before. He was led by a person to Jesus, but then all of a sudden, now Jesus has got a hold of the hand. Never been led like this before. Thank you, sis. Can I hold your hand? Come with me. Josh, let's just make this weirder. He can't see. He has no idea what he's even being led by, but the Spirit of God has got a hold of him and is taking him somewhere. Taking him somewhere. For the first time in his life, he's being taken somewhere by God. He didn't even know who God was. Thank you. He showed up to church. He showed up in a ministry and said, oh, what's going to happen today? And all of a sudden, y'all ain't getting this. And all of a sudden, the master's hand slipped inside of his hand. He's sitting there blind. He said, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You sat here in the service before, and all of a sudden a hand slipped into your hand. You want to hold hands with me, God? I've never felt that before. I've never felt this way before. I've never felt this way. Jody, I've never felt the hand of God in my hand. I've never been led like this before. I can't see. Didn't you know she couldn't see? Didn't you know that? But I feel better. I feel better. When his hand's in my hand, it feels better, don't it? Yes, amen. All of a sudden he says, oh, just come with me. God, I don't know how to walk. Anita, I don't know how to walk. I don't know how to walk with you. You don't have to walk with me. I'll show you. I'm leading you. Some of y'all, you better be careful, because you come to church on a regular basis and God slips his hand inside your hand and you're the one who lets go. More times than not, I've seen it in this pulpit more times than I want to count. God gets a hold of you. God convicts you, and he wants to lead you. And somewhere between your pew and this altar, you let go. I don't know what it looks like up there, Lord, and I'd rather stay blind than follow you to a place that I don't know, because God was leading him out of Bethsaida. And he didn't even know it. God wants to lead you out of Bethsaida. Just put your hand in his hand. You've led your life long enough. It's a mess. And if you haven't lived long enough to know that it's a mess, let me tell you, in 10 years it'll be a mess. In 20 years it'll be a mess. In 30 years it'll be a mess. Unless you put your hand inside his hand and let him lead you where he wants to lead you. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, God, why in the world are you spitting on this man's eyes? Why is God spitting in his eyes? I know what you're saying, that's crazy, Kevin, but it's no different than, why do I got to get up and go in front of everybody? Why do I got to do it God's way? Why does he want me to get up and kind of be embarrassed? Why does he want me to get up and kind of do this publicly? I got one question for you. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have eternal life? Well, why don't you do it his way? Because this man wanted to see. A little public display of faith is worth being whole. Amen? Coming forward for Christ is worth being whole. He took him out of Bethsaida. And he spat in his eyes. God, I don't know what you're doing. This is weird. But guess what? Feels good. And he starts beginning to touch his eyes. The one who makes eyes was touching him. The one that made your soul is touching you. The one that makes eternity touches you. And he reaches into places that you don't know how he fixes. He just fixes. How are you fixing my eyes, God? How are you fixing my heart? How did you take a sinner who was connected to pornography and lying and stealing and doing all this stuff and all of a sudden fix it just by a touch? How do you do that? Because I'm God. I made you. I can complete you. Amen? I made you. I can complete you. See, I got on this thing about puzzle pieces. And y'all have heard this before because you've been in church. God's a puzzle piece to the heart that's missing. Right? Y'all have heard that. I'm going to tell you something different though. And we try to cram every kind of puzzle piece into that missing spot in our lives. Trying to make that God-shaped missing puzzle piece. We do it with women and boys and girls and alcohol and drugs and lying, everything the world says is good, we try to place it in there. And every time we place it in there, it just kind of pops out. Oh, yeah. It just kind of pops out. And there's a void there again. And you say, well, wait a minute. Maybe if I get a different kind of high. Maybe if I look at something a little bit different. What if I get money? What if I get that job? What if I get that title? Oh my goodness, that puzzle piece keeps popping out and I'm still not satisfied with who I am and what I have. Until Jesus. I can't explain this to you. You've never had it. You don't know what I'm talking about. But when Jesus gets in there, you're like, wait a minute. I might temporarily do something this way or that way, but I have never begged for that thing to be filled again because it is filled. I don't need anything to complete me. I am complete. And some of y'all are sitting there going, wait a minute, I thought you was going to tell me something I didn't know already. But there's another puzzle that God's trying to work out. And see, that's the puzzle piece where you fit in. See, you're the puzzle piece for other people. So when he changes you, then he puts you off the table into the midst of the puzzle. God, I'd love to preach it like this. And he doesn't care what shape you are. He don't care what size you are. He don't care what you look like or don't look like. He don't care if you're tall, short, skinny, fat, rich, poor, up, down. He just wants to know if you're going to fit. Oh, God. Could y'all help me if I preach a little bit right here? Think about this. Some of the easiest puzzle pieces to find are the corners. Yo, golly bum. If you really know who I was right now, you would know. If I've ever started a puzzle, it probably only has four corners on it. Amen? Right? Y'all figured it out. Okay, you're laughing. But I'd like to see some of your puzzling. You got four corners, you got the lines running because there's two rigid sides, or there's a rigid side, and you automatically look at it and say, I know where that one goes. It's going to go on the border, right? And it's only got a couple of weird shapes. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. It's only got a couple of weird shapes. Even the people who are almost perfectly square. Some of you people from the 50s should have said, amen, brother. Square, Ray, square, all right, square. You're almost perfectly square, but once you get to know them, they've got just as many turns and shapes and issues as you do. They just can hide it real well because they've got two really straight sides. But you ever get one of them crazy pieces? It's shaped all weird and it's got connectors on all four sides. God, y'all don't even know what I just said. That thing hooks up with anybody. Everybody got all kinds of issues coming out every which way. Oh, y'all don't even. But once you find all the connecting pieces, y'all don't even know, it's good stuff. That crazy thing that used to hook up with everything in the world. Some of y'all know what I'm saying when I'm saying hooks up and everything in the world. Some of y'all younger millennials are sitting here going, I think the preacher's talking about sex. Hooks up in drugs, hooks up in sex, hooks up in all the world, hooks up in everything that's wrong, and is like multifaceted to hook up in the world. But once God saves it, can put it in the heart of the puzzle and can bring all the sides and all the other pieces together. Because if God can save them, he can bring everybody in. Amen, preacher! That's good preaching! Man, I love that kind of stuff. And they begged him. And they took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and he put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw. Oh, he goes, you seeing any? Are you seeing any? I love his answer. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. Wait a minute. This is the first guy that Jesus healed, and he only healed him partially. Wait a minute. Don't Jesus finish the job? Don't worry, he does. There's a negative and a positive here. Amen? I think he didn't want to heal him fully because he wants us all to realize, even though if he saves you eternally, he's still working on you while you're in this world. Amen? It's a process. I die daily. I crucify my flesh daily. Amen? He's still working on me. But I also thought about it this way. Can I preach just a little bit abstract? And don't get mad at me. Don't meet me at the church and say, I don't believe that's biblical. Because I'll say, yeah, you're probably right. He's seen men as trees. Maybe he got the full healing right there. Yeah, I know. Kevin's weird. But maybe he's seen how God sees us. He only sees us as trees. You're either a fruit tree or a wild tree. When he looked up, he probably said, wait a minute, I see that guy right there. He's not really what he seems to be. And this guy right over here has got all kinds of fruit on him. I see men as trees. God said, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't leave you like that. It'll ruin the rest of your life. I don't want you to look right into men and see whether they're right or not. That's my job. Huh? Just make you think different just for a second. I'm not trying to create a whole different denomination or a rule of worship. I'm just saying that he just said, you know, he made it. He didn't really fully see it all. And listen, can I be honest with you? Since I've been saved, God's had to touch my spiritual eyes a multitude of times, many times, thousands of times, to get me to see better and better and better. I haven't always figured it out. I've not figured it out yet. I'm still a work in progress. When I die and when I stand before glory, then the work will be finished. This is one of my favorite parts of the story. After this, he put his hands on him again, upon his eyes. Aren't you glad he... Listen, some of y'all need to hear this. Maybe you're saved. Some of y'all need to let Jesus touch you again. It's been a while since you poured out before God. It's been a while since you testified. You got a testimony of salvation when you're 5, 6, 7, and 10, but you haven't shown anything for God in a long, long time. It would be good if God got a hold of you again and you fell madly in love with him and you couldn't help. When you love somebody, you tell somebody. Man, some of you husbands in here could have won big points right there. When you're really madly in love with somebody, you will tell somebody. Amen? When you first fell in love with Jesus, who'd you want to tell? Everybody? But did you want to call somebody? Did you run to somebody's house? Did you knock on the door? Did you want to say it in front of everybody? What happened? Ooh. Sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up, right? But when you stay in love with somebody for a long, long period of time, somewhere in the midst of that relationship, you should look around and say, wait a minute, where'd the fire go? Amen? All you have to do is go back to find out when you first started dating them, first started seeing them, what you did then, and replay the old playbook. Oh, never mind. Go back to your first love. Where'd you find God? I was on my face. I didn't feel like I was worthy, and I just cried out to him. And man, I used to have a great time with God. Hello? Come back to him and say, God, I'm still not worthy. I'd like to see you. Amen? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. I'll just keep moving, right? In his eyes, and he made him look upon, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. He is fully established. Verse 26, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. What? Are you insane, Jesus? I'm not a theologian. I've not went to Bible college, but I get my sight back. I don't want to be quiet about this. Don't go back to town and don't tell nobody. Man, if I healed somebody, I'd say, go tell everybody. God says, you know why? Because you ain't got to tell anybody if you're changed. Oh, No. Let's all stand. Scott, come on. If God opens up your spiritual eyes, you will really never have to tell anybody. Especially the people who knew you before you got saved. Because they will say stuff like this. Ever since they had that encounter with Christ, ever since they went to that one service and came up to that altar and poured it all out before God, repented of their sins and asked Him to be the Lord of their life, they have never been the same. She's not going to the bar. She's not going to the club. She's not drinking. She's not getting high. She's not sleeping around. He's not lying. He's not stealing. He's not using drugs. He's not chasing. Oh, my goodness, he's a totally different creature. Well, I've not heard it from his lips. You ain't got to hear it. Man, you are to see it. Amen? Share your testimony and use words if necessary. Use words for necessary. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you see Jesus? See, there were some real religious people after Jesus healed the man in John chapter 9. They came to him after the healing and the man was thrown out of the temple because he loved Jesus so much. They came to Jesus and Jesus said something. He said, "You were blind, but now you see. If you were never blind, you would have never gained your sight." And some of the religious people heard him and said, "Are you trying to say that we're blind?" He said, "Have you ever said you're blind?" They said, "No, we're not blind." So you'll remain blind. You understand what I just said? See, everybody in here that's been saved, we were spiritually blind at one point. And we'll tell you that we were. The ones that still are blind are the ones who say, "I've really never needed Jesus much. I'm good. I've never been blind. I'm not that bad." Let me tell you something, friend. You're the worst one out of the bunch. You're the blindest one of them all. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you really want to see who Jesus is, there's a place on this altar up here. And how you get to see him is you say, "God, heal me of my spiritual blindness. Forgive me of my sin and be the Lord of my life." And he'll lift the scales off of your eyes and you'll see spiritually for the very first time as they sing.